are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
All right, it's time for our mental health chat, and we are talking about eating disorders. Today, focusing on the role of therapy in eating disorder recovery. Now, just about weight gain or nutritional plans, it's about healing the mind and the spirit. You remember Yolanda speaking to us earlier and how eating disorders are not about food and how they're rarely ever even about food. And so today's session looks at the therapeutic interventions proven to support eating disorder recovery, from cognitive behavioral therapy to family-based therapy. We're going to explore how structured support can rebuild self-worth, reshape thoughts, and reestablish healthy patterns. Yolanda Lindeke joins us once again. Yolanda, good morning. Welcome back to the program.
Good morning, Bongi, and happy Monday.
Yes, happy Monday. Those are not two words you often find together, but I'll take it. Happy Monday.
Let's take it. Let's take it back for ourselves.
Yes, yes. That's what I always say. All right. So we're talking about the role of therapy, Yolanda, in eating disorder recovery. What kinds of therapy are most effective for specific eating disorders?
Different eating disorders tend to respond based to specific approaches, but most benefit from evidence-based therapies.
Okay.
So I'll kind of break them down a little bit. So for example, anorexia nervosa is more a family-based treatment. It's highly effective, especially in adolescents, mm-hmm. because it creates that structure, not just with the person suffering with the eating disorder, but also the structure and the social environment that comes with the family. So while cognitive behavior therapy, or CBT, offers specialist support can be very helpful in these areas, especially with the family, to have focus on, and as we said, it's not just about the food, but how do we structure meal times? How do we navigate stresses and anxiety around meal times? Mm-hmm. Where, for example, with bulimia nervosa or binge eating disorder, CBT, particularly CBTE, which is kind of an enhanced form of cognitive behavior therapy, mm-hmm. is considered the gold standard. Now, for those of you who might not be familiar with CBT or cognitive behavior therapy, what it basically means, it is therapies that are structured around challenging the deep-seated thinking patterns that is that underlying motivation behind behavior. So we don't just act, we have this script almost that is in our subconscious that's there, that we use to make decisions with. Mm-hmm. You don't consciously always think about it, but it is that deep-seated belief. And when you are just making your decisions every day, you don't always give it that much thought, and you go from this script. So very often in eating disorders, when this script isn't functioning effectively, so you have these beliefs that I'm fat, I'm only being loved and accepted if I look a certain way, I will only control my life and myself if I keep to these specific food rules. That's the script that kind of keeps on motivating the behavior. Okay. And then for all eating disorders, DBT, dialectical behavior therapy, which is more skill-based approach, can also be very helpful in just controlling emotions and kind of that angst that comes with feeling out of control.
Right, right. And how does therapy address the root emotional causes behind eating disorders?
Okay, so I think I said it before, I'll say it again, and I'll keep saying it. Eating disorders are rarely just about food. Mm. They are often a way of coping with overwhelming emotions, trauma, perfectionism, or the need for control. Therapy creates a safe space to explore these underlying issues. So, for example, a therapist can help a client recognize emotional triggers and develop more healthy coping mechanisms. And the work challenges distorted belief that I'm only worthy if I look a certain way. And also many therapies also focus on building emotion regulation skills so that when I have this feeling of out of control or I have this feeling that I'm not good enough, I can use a better skill than binging, purging,
right,
or restricting my food habits. Mm-hmm. So that's how therapy can help in that regard.
Right. And what role do therapists play in helping clients build a healthy self-image?
A therapist can act as both a mirror and a guide. They reflect back strengths to clients, that so that they see themselves and how they see themselves. And this can be in a positive or a negative way.
Okay.
Very often it's about reframing that script. So if a client's sitting in front of me, giving me this narrative, it's very often my job to take what I'm given, the story, and kind of package it and give it back to the person and say, but did you hear, this is what you're really good at, these are your strengths, and these are the things that you're really negatively talking to yourself with. These are the behaviors and belief systems that fuel this believing of low self, self-worth. So this might involve helping clients identify values and personal qualities beyond just their appearance.
Mm-hmm.
It can encourage body neutrality or acceptance rather than just this perfect image. And that's kind of where the discussion is going to go, because what does perfect mean to you? What okay. is this ideal that you're rushing after? And gradually reintroducing a balanced relationship with food and moving more to self-care. It's about health. It's about emotion regulation. It's more about understanding that my behavior externally is that reflection of the chaos that I'm experiencing internally. And a therapist can kind of just hold that mirror up to you and say, do you see this? And then how can I structure, help, and guide you to move to a more healthy place?
I like that. I like that. And there's a term that you just used there that I don't think I've ever heard, body neutrality.
Body neutrality is more just like, I understand the function of my body and what it is supposed to do.
Okay.
I don't necessarily have to put a label
okay.
or a yes or a no to it. It's almost like I have my legs. My legs carry me from point A to point B.
Right.
Me saying I like my legs, or my legs are tall or short, my legs are beautiful or muscular, I don't need to give it those adjectives
right.
to appreciate my legs. So sometimes coming from a point where you just, why do you want to give something that label? Why does it have to be in a box? Why can't it just be what it is?
I like that. Very interesting. That's an interesting perspective. It doesn't have to be about how it looks or how it is perceived, but simply that this is what it does. This is what it's here for. And it does that well.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, beautiful. Love that. And can group therapy or peer support complement one-on-one treatment?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Eating disorders can be incredibly isolating.
Mm-hmm.
So hearing the me too, hearing the same stories from others can be transformative. So in group therapy, it allows people to share experiences, practice their social skills, and to learn from each other's coping strategies under professional guidance. And that guidance is very important. And I kind of want to highlight and preface that if you're struggling with the eating disorder, and you are reaching out, please do it under the guidance of someone, because very often you see these on social media, these anorexia groups, and they sell the support groups, but then they end up just being groups in which we support each other in our illness, and then it tends to be getting worse.
Yeah.
So please make sure that if you're getting the help, that it is in a structured way, it is with the guidance of a therapist, and not just a group of people sharing the same disorders getting together, because if one person falls, he's going to take the whole group down with him.
Wow. I thought about that as well. Anytime I think about group therapy, I always think about that as one of the dangers if you don't have the guidance of a professional, where it's just all of us loading off onto one another our struggles, and we're just, you know, it almost kind of like the blind leading the blind. And there is that comfort in numbers and realizing that, oh, I'm not the only one. But at the same time, is it helping though?
Yes, definitely. And within my group therapies, there's very strict rules in terms of trying not to have relationships outside of the group and see each other for only the support that you're getting whilst you're here.
Yeah.
Because it's so easy and simple to fall into. You and I are sharing the same pain. So we find that kinship. We find that sharing. We feel like we understand without talking to each other. And then it gives that false sense of friendship and even in some cases romance, and it's based on a fallacy. So very strong guided rules when it comes to therapy is sometimes very necessary.
Yeah, Yeah, for sure. How important is long-term follow-up in maintaining recovery?
So recovery is not a one-time event, not just for eating disorder, but for anxiety, depression. And the reason for it is that it's an ongoing process, because eating disorders, depression, anxiety, they can flare up in times of stress or times of depression. So therefore, long-term follow-up of just being aware of your symptoms are so very important. Mm-hmm. Continued therapy sessions, whether regular or spaced out, can help people stay connected to their recovery tools. They can stay connected to that, what I have, and that's really what's important. Mm-hmm. Check-ins allows for early intervention and warning signs. So sometimes you yourself might not be aware of the behaviors or that you're backsliding. But if you're regularly checking in with a professional, they're holding up that mirror again and like, do you see that you're falling back into old habits? Do you see that you're falling back to these negative thinking patterns? And then we can kind of do something before it spirals out of control. Mm-hmm. And then also this allows an opportunity for long-term support, also provides reassurance. So as I'm approaching these changes in my life, these stresses, I can very often, before they come, along with my therapist, along with my support team, put structures in place so that they're less stressful, they don't have that big impact in my life, and I can successfully navigate past them.
Right, right. Love it. All right. Well, I think that's it for today. Any other points that you'd like to bring up or just re-emphasize that we've covered today?
As always, be kind, but I want to specifically tell you, be kind to yourself. Remember to eat today. Body, your food is fuel for your body. Yes. And that is it. Have a lovely day, guys.
Thank you, Yolanda. God bless you. Chat again on Wednesday.
Bye.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.